This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome in. Ryan Porth in for Brayden Gall this morning, who is out sick. We hope Brayden starts feeling better and is back in here on Monday alongside former Titans and Ravens receiver Derek Mason on this big Friday before divisional round playoff game. Titans-Ravens tomorrow night, 7:15 at M&T Bank Stadium. Joined by another former Ravens receiver now on the line, Kadri Ismail. Kadri, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have opportunity to speak to you guys.
So, Kadri, what would you say is the biggest reason why Lamar Jackson has become the MVP candidate that he is this season?
So, I think in the NFL, when you look at, you know, players coming into the league, they have their strengths. That's why, you know, they have the draft and they feel like, hey, these are certain measurables, this is how this certain player can fit on my team and blah, blah, blah. General manager talks to the coach talks to the position coach. They all kind of kumbaya, get together, and next thing you know, he goes out there and does his thing. With most rookies, you kind of lean on your strength, and off you go. And then, you know, maybe year two, you sort of kind of address a little bit of your weaknesses. By the time you're in year three, now you should be able to see things that you otherwise would not have been able to see, and therefore you're a professional athlete, and off you go, and having your career good, bad, or indifferent. I think for Lamar, what I see and what I think has really been just an amazing revolution is just that in a one off season, he has put himself into position as a complete player that plays the position of quarterback. And really, you know, let me do the Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof. Come on, what up? You just keep going.
Now, Q, looking at John Harbaugh, he's been here for the longest, and he won a Super Bowl doing it one way with Joe Flacco on a historic run that Joe put up in the playoffs. And Baltimore, the first time they won a Super Bowl, they did it a certain way, playing great defense, running the football. This is sort of kind of out of the norm, and I know John has spoken about this nationally, how he wanted to, you know, we've done it for so long this way, we want to try and do it a different way. This is why we drafted Lamar Jackson. It was the last draft for Ozzie Newsome. Just go a little bit further with that and how he sort of went against everything that he was about his first, you know, 7-8 years there with Baltimore.
So I think part of what you do as a coach, a successful coach, is you adapt and change to the stimuli that's been given. And I think for the NFL, they want scoring, they want offense, they're going to change the rules. You're not going to be able to go and lunge at a player. You and I went across the middle. We made a living going across the middle as tough guys. Why? Because we knew the safety had unfettered access to the middle of our chest cavity. And if he missed and that hit went to the head, we got back up and off we went. We didn't understand about concussions, so if we got our bell rung or a ding to the helmet and we went to the sideline, hey man, give me some smelling salts and I will feel okay. That feeling of toughness, you know, is no longer there. You see defenders getting fined. You see, you know, even offensive players on a crackback block, they're put into a position where they can't necessarily just tee off on a guy. And so with the changes in the league, with the way the rules are constituted, you know, it puts a lot of premium on a quarterback to be able to throw the ball around. But I think for John and what you see in the playoffs and what we've seen from other teams is that when you have a strong running game, it will travel. When you have a competent quarterback that can, you know, distribute the ball in critical positions and spots within that confines of the running game, then it's going to also, you know, give you a lot of fruit to be successful on. I think that's the key. When they shifted to Lamar, Joe goes down. Joe is a pocket passer. Joe is a guy that was, towards the end of his career, continually getting injured. It put a lot of pressure on the offensive line. In comes Greg Roman, and I think his offense, you know, is just a phenomenal offense and not necessarily receiver-friendly, but it's not necessarily receiver-poor either. And I think it gives, you know, a defense where the defense kind of gave the offense fits with all the zone dog and all the different looks as far as the blitz schemes. Mm-hmm. This puts the pressure back on the defense, and that's why I think, you know, it's a change that needed to be made, and it's genius on the part of John to say, look, we're going to do it this way, come hell or high water.
Now, are you worried, that this team, because of how they ended the season, meaning the competition and then them not playing, because I'm sure you've seen plenty of times where teams have gotten it sold up, they're the number one seed, and then they rest guys. Is that a concern for you or the Baltimore fans that this team together hasn't really played in the last two or three weeks?
It is a concern if it was a team that was undisciplined, not focused, and they didn't, again, have a head coach that's been there, done that. While he hasn't had a number one seed in the playoffs, yet we get that. But I think the way they've gone throughout his tenure here, you know, they've gone on the road and played playoff games, won playoff games on the road, had playoff games at home. I think they recognize, you know, what's at stake. I think at the same time, one of the elephants in the room that Lamar recognizes that last year against the L.A. Chargers, he felt like he played his worst game, and that kind of stuck with him. I think that was part of the reason why he became the quarterback in the offseason that he became, is because he's like, you know what? Skip all this. I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I will not be ill-prepared. So they are 14-2. They're in a position now where they can advance to the AFC Championship game. I just don't see them, you know, just blindly, you know, sitting back, resting on their laurels because they feel that they've accomplished something. You know, what did you accomplish? Okay, you're 14-2. Okay, you had the greatest regular season in Raven history, but that's cool. All I know is the 2012 and 2000 team, you know, they kind of polished their rings, and people love them for it. You got to go ahead and finish the deal.
Former Ravens receiver Qadre Ishmael is the co-host of the Purple pregame and postgame up in Baltimore, joining us here on Morning Drive. And Qadre, before we let you go, you spoke of John Harbaugh, the fact that he's been there and done that, but you know, even 2 years ago, John was someone who was very much on the hot seat up there in Baltimore. In his 12th season now with the Ravens, how has he been able to kind of change that message and continue to get buy-in from that Ravens locker room to the point where they're now 14-2 with the number one seed in the AFC?
When you have a team that believes in you, you play hard for your coach. I think when you look at teams, say the Giants, the Browns, name some other teams, you know, the Cowboys, name teams that have fired their head coaches, somewhat the Carolina Panthers, but, you know, Ron Rivera, I think he's kind of in that John Harbaugh category. But when you have injuries and they just all of a sudden, it's kind of crazy, they just have this slew of injuries. Like I said, Joe Flacco being the number one guy that was like, oh, boy, what happened? I think for them, they never gave up on John. John never gave up on them. The competitive fire that you still had was evident because you make the playoffs with a new quarterback, but you have some of the same pieces there. That's because you have a competitive want to. You go ahead and get some pieces in the play, Marcus Peters. You add in guys, and now you go away from big name players like a Terrell Suggs and Eric Weddle, and now you still have a 14-2 record. But the competitiveness, the mindset of preparing yourself, even in those lean years, it was still there. So I think that's what separates Don and why he's still, Baltimore Ravens head coach.
Qadree Ishmael has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Qadree, thank you so much for joining us here on the show this morning, and enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Appreciate it, fellas. Yeah, I know this to be true, that Derek is going to have his purple underwear on. Go Ravens.
I didn't know Derek had purple underwear.
Hey, man, you can't be putting that out there, Q, man. man, enjoy the game tomorrow.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Yep. Thanks, Qadree. I didn't know you had purple underwear.
Hey, man, I'm be telling everybody that, man.
Do you have light blue underwear?
Hey, man, I got all colors.
But do you have two-tone blue underwear?
Does anybody have two-tone blue?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some Titans fans out there that have two-tone blue underwear.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are. They have
undergarments, whatever it may be.
Yeah, they have Titans written across the kind of the what you call it, the band part.
I thought you were going to go somewhere.
No, man.
A little backside. A little
backside,
Titan logo
Titans.
On there.
Say Titan up.
Titan up.
Say
on
Henry.
There.
Say Henry on the back.
22 on the thigh leg.
Man. You know, speaking of Tennessee, the Titans, and we're kidding about, two-tone blue and all this other stuff. I saw a photo yesterday that a friend of mine who ironically is a Baltimore transplant. She came here from Baltimore for work. I knew her back in the Baltimore days. She's a huge fan. Her family's a huge fan of the Baltimore Ravens. And she took a picture, and I don't know exactly where it was, but the lights were lit up in 22 on this big building that they were doing construction on.
I believe it was the Pinnacle Building downtown.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, people are buying in. The fans are excited here.
I mean, the TV ratings were what it was in the heyday. Mm-hmm. I mean, the TV ratings for the Patriots game were what, close to a 40?
Yeah.
In this market?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy smokes.
You haven't seen that in a long time.
If tomorrow night's game is a close game, mm-hmm. and the Ravens don't run away with it in the first half,
mm-hmm.
it might exceed 40.
I think it will.
I mean, this town is as energized about this team as they have been since the last time the Titans played the Ravens in the divisional round of the playoffs mm-hmm. back in 09.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. If you have any questions for D-Mace on the Titans-Ravens game, text us at 615-737-1025. We'll get to some of those texts coming up next. And the importance of Ryan Tannehill to this game. Don't forget Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30 to talk about the Preds and Blackhawks game from last night and Pecorine actually scoring a goal. More Morning Drive coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth in for Braden Gall alongside D Mace. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Morning Drive. Ryan Porth in for Braden Gall, out sick this morning alongside former Titan and Raven great. You know what? You're not a former Titan Raven great. You are a Titan and Raven great.
Used to play with them. I've always said, man, I had an opportunity because I played with four organizations, really, and I only say two, but I played with four organizations. And the two organizations that I played for, Baltimore and Tennessee, not many people can say that they played for two great organizations. Mm-hmm. And I truly played for two great organizations. Now, Houston and the Jets was a dumpster fire. Houston was still learning, how to win, and they were a good team. So I just wasn't there long enough to consider, it was a small cup of coffee that I had there.
Mm-hmm.
So
we 615-737-1025 if you want to text us about this Titans-Ravens game. Someone texted in last hour, D-Mace, and said, "Hey, D-Mace, if you do not believe Tannehill can put this team on his back to win this game, then why would we re-sign him?"
Because they've never asked Ryan Tannehill to put the team on his back. if you look at the history of the Tennessee Titans, with the exception of, you know, maybe McNair, they've never asked a quarterback to do it all. Even Mac, he had Eddie, he had myself, mm-hmm. he had Frankie, but, he had Kevin. So they never, you know, they knew he can do it, but they didn't. He wasn't asked to do it every game.
But in his Steve's co-MVP season, mm-hmm. it's not like Eddie was the old Eddie. I mean, Eddie was starting to wear down at that point.
He was having toe issues, so he wasn't the same back. He would, you know, he still ran hard.
Mm-hmm.
He still gave you, you know, Eddie was always going to give you everything he had, but he wasn't as effective because of the injuries
mm-hmm.
That he was having. And then that was the situation where Steve, you know, chose to, okay, if we can't do it through Eddie like we usually were able to do it, then I have to step my game up some more. And it doesn't hurt when you have myself, Kevin, and Drew and Justin McCarron and you know, the tight ends that we had, Aaron Kinney. So you had a bunch of guys, Robert Holcomb, you had a bunch of guys on offense that could help, you know, you with leading this team. You didn't all of a sudden just have to do it by yourself. And it's not that I think the Titans believe in Ryan Tannehill, but they know that if they're going to win football games, they got to turn the ball. They got to turn around and give it to Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Marcus Mariota is that he was just hesitant a lot with things. Ryan Tannehill is not hesitant. They believe that he can lead this team. You know, he's a leader. He's proven he's a leader this season. They need a guy that's not going to make many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Tannehill, he has shown, at least this season, he's not going to make costly mistakes, even though he almost did against New England. But they're not asking him to, you got to win the game. You're going to be our quarterback moving forward, but 22 is going to be the guy.
Well, I kind of feel like Ryan Tannehill needs Derrick Henry as much as Derrick Henry needs Ryan Tannehill,
mm-hmm.
that complimentary football that Mike Vrabel always talks about. And that's kind of why I think both are definitely going to be back next season, even though they're slated to be free agents. I mean, if you want to mm-hmm. give this team the best chance to win in 2020, you know, kind of looking beyond just this weekend,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be the combination of both. And I think because one of the reasons they're going to choose to keep Ryan is because he's earned it. He's earned that right to be back. He's earned that right to basically, you know, call his ticket in. You know, he's earned that right by his play. And then also, he's veteran enough to understand what it takes to win ball games. If I got to hand the ball off 100 times, then so be it. If I got to make two passes, well, those two passes that I make are going to be the best two passes that I've ever made, i.e. both of them, the Firks are one for a touchdown, one for a first down. They're not asking Ryan to throw the ball 30 times to win football games.
Mm-hmm.
He's the quarterback they want him to be at this particular time. Just go out there. We're gonna say throw the ball 23 times a game. Don't turn the ball over, which he hasn't done. And when there's a big play to be made, make it. But you get a ball to 22.
And like you're inferring with Ryan Tannehill, he's out there under center in the pocket with a purpose. It feels like he has a plan out there.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what you were talking about with Marcus Mariota, where he was very hesitant at times to just pull the trigger and throw the ball. And when he threw the ball, wasn't always accurate.
Yeah, it was. And we looked at Marcus coming in, and we thought that Marcus would be able to be the franchise quarterback. Well, you know, kudos to Marcus because he did something that other quarterbacks before him, you know, I'm talking not Steve McNair, but I'm talking guys after that. He took this franchise, and they had a winning record with him. This franchise was in the gutter, and then they draft Marcus Mariota, and they get better. So you always got to give him that. But it became apparent that he wasn't going to be the guy moving forward, and now Ryan is. So, you know, it's not that I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill because – what he has done with this team under these circumstances is wonderful. But I am not going to ask Ryan Tannehill to win me a football game. I'm just not. I'm going to ask Derrick Henry to do it in the defense, but I'm not going to ask Ryan to do it. Not you, Ryan, but the other Ryan.
Yeah, not me. You know what else Marcus has been hesitant to do?
What's that?
Trim that beard.
Yeah, he looks like a mountain
looks like
man.
He kind of looks like a caveman there on the sideline.
Man, he just said, I don't care.
I wonder if we see him tomorrow night in any sort of package. I'm sure we will. I mean, we've seen it the last couple games.
Yeah, I think they have I am sure there's a package of about 15 plays specifically for Marcus. And they will try to use, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 plays within the game if the game is close. Or if they're winning, they're going to try to use those packages to throw that Baltimore defense sort of off kilter a little bit. So be expecting Marcus to play some.
We have someone on the text line saying, Derek helped put the air in Air McNair.
Yeah, you know, Steve helped me. I helped Steve. But I credit a lot of it, honestly, you know, to what we were, the things we were able to do in practice. You know, how we went about practice. I credit a lot of it to Neil O'Donnell, you know, truly. Mac was my guy. We're always, and he and I had chemistry.
It's my quarterback.
You know, on the field that I don't think a lot of, that receivers would love to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I credit Neil O'Donnell because when I wasn't playing, Neil O'Donnell, you know, believed in me. He would throw it to me all the time in practice. And then when I finally got an opportunity to play, Neil O'Donnell said, Derek, just get open. I'm going to throw you the ball. Just get open. And he trusted I would catch the ball.
And you got open a lot.
And I got open a lot. So a lot of what I was able to do, you know, was I contributed, you know, as far as people on the field, I contributed to Neil O'Donnell. Because when you have a veteran quarterback like Neil that has been to the Super Bowl, you know, that understands he played with some really good wide receivers, some great ones. When you have a guy like that believing in you, that means a lot for a young guy, you know. So a lot of it is because of, you know, because of him. And I just, you know, after that, just took it in and you know. And then Les Steckel. Les Steckel, too, man. Les would put, and I know we got to go to break, but Les would put a note, and this is no lie. Les Steckel would put a note in my locker every day. Every day, a note, word of encouragement, every day in my locker. And again, for a young guy, a guy that's in his second year, don't know if he's going to be on the team or not, and his third, don't know if he's going to be on a team or not, that's encouraging. You know, that's encouraging. That's okay, I can go out to practice. I'm good. You know, somebody believes in me in this building.
That's awesome.
So Les Steckel and Neil O'Donnell, I you know, I'm talking about people that are a part of that organization.
Good stuff. Coming up next, we shift back to the Preds. Terry Crisp will join us like he does every Friday at 8:30 here on Morning Drive to talk about the Preds not only winning 5-2 last night in Chicago, but Pekka Rinne scoring a goal. We will get into that coming up next with Crispy right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porthen for Brayden Gall this morning alongside Derek Mason. We are joined, as we are every Friday at 8:30 a.m., by Terry Crisp, brought to you by the Highland Group. Crispy, did you ever score an empty net goal from 200 feet away in your NHL career?
I've never scored an empty net goal from 5 feet away.
How about Pekka Rinne last night throwing it all the way down ice and finally scoring his first NHL goal to put the cherry on top of a 5-2 win over the Blackhawks?
I gotta be honest with you guys. I'm sitting here watching the game last night with my wife, and the goalie's out and the puck's coming, and when he scored that goal, I flashed back and I said, all these times that Pekka had played out of his skull and made, I don't know how many unbelievable saves during a game, and I used to say we'd lose it, but I want to say, now if Pekka could only score goals, we'd win some hockey games. Well, boys, we're on track. It's now happened. We're back on track. Pekka's scoring.
Well, I think the interesting part of a goalie scoring is it has to be the exact right moment of a game and the exact right situation for the goalie to be handling the puck And I don't think you normally see this when it's just a one-goal lead for a team, because goalies don't want to take that risk of having something bad happen while trying to score. But a two-goal lead, you're behind the net. We've seen Pekka try it before, and we've all known that he's had this capability. But for him to actually score and his reaction post-game with Lindsey Rowley, I don't think I've seen Pekka Rinne smile that big since they won the Western Conference.
And I don't blame him. Pekka is such a great person and so down to earth. And he said, yep, says to Lindsey, yep, we can put a check in that box. I got that accomplished now. So he's got his little box checks he's going. But when that thing went in, it was dead in the middle, and Willie and Mace were up in the box and cheering. I thought, you know what, that's exactly the tonic we need for this hockey club right now. We have a new coach coming in who needs some help by the players. We need the players to feel good about themselves, get some confidence. And you win a hockey game against a very good team, a desperate team back in Chicago. And Pekka plays out of his skull in the third period, second part of the second and third. And he gets a goal. And I said, going back into the dressing room, they got to feel good about everything around them. So if we're looking for tonic and looking for something to jumpstart us, that game last night has to be it.
Yeah, it does. And Crispy, I said to Ryan in a weird way, and I know many fans might not think about it in this from this point of view, that goal by Pekka Rinne could possibly elevate or give the team the spark that they need. It could give Pekka the spark that he needs. And I know it's a goalie, and I know it rarely happens in the NHL, but this possibly can give this team that advantage or that confidence that they need.
Definitely, definitely. And he's such a good person. Everybody, and he saved our bacon so many times in games that we should have lost by a goal, and he just stood on his head. He and both Saros at given times, but Pekka, especially being the senior man here. And the guys used to feel so bad for him, because if he lose by one goal or something, and he'd make 10 unbelievable stops in the last 6 minutes. And when you're going into the stretch run like we are right now, and you're looking for anything to beef up the thing, like last night, that first period for me was one of the best periods of hockey I've seen our team play in a long, long time. And I think what happened was they got together, they put their heads against, you know what, we've got a new coach, we're going to impress him, I do what he asked us to do. And they did it, and they played unreal hockey in that first period and part of the second. Then went into that little, I call it the reserve, where they just kept backing off and backing off. And in the third period, I mean, we only had three shots on net coming down. I don't know how many stuff. But in the meantime, Pekka Rinne, again, we're talking about Pekka, making unbelievable saves to keep the guys, to keep the lead, to keep it going. And then for him to top it off with, and when he sort of grinned and said, well, you know, he said, we're up two goals. I got a chance. I've seen Pekka in practice. Remember that? I think Lindsey asked him, does he practice? I've seen him practice just fooling around after when the practice is over, on his knees, just sitting on his knees out in the ice, laying out with a puck, shooting from center ice, the center ice dot, and putting them over the end glass. So would Pekka capable of it? Oh, yeah.
So what you're saying, Crispy, is he's been preparing for this moment for a while now.
What I'm saying is I think Pekka Rinne should be on our power play.
Oh, man. We're talking to Terry Crisp, better known as Crispy, the Nashville Predators 5-2 win last night. They had two empty netters, one by your the very great and wonderful Pekka Rinne. What did you see? Because I was listening to you yesterday when you were on Jared and the GM. And you said you sat the other day and just watched the whole practice. And it was just something different. The tone was different from Coach Hines. Do you think last night the tone and the message that he was giving that you saw finally resonated over to this team in the game?
It was exactly what I watched that practice. And when I went home and I was sitting talking, I said, you know what? That's what the guys are looking at right now. And I know that Lab and McCarthy and the coaching staff and all those guys had gone over the same thing. But like we said, you know, water washing up against the rocks sometimes just becomes. But I watched it, and I think the guys had a look in their eyes. That every time that the whistle was blown, they stopped and looked at John Hines, the new head coach, and were trying to absorb and think. And it worked perfect in that first period. And I got to think, you know what? It shows that we still have the team. We still have the ability. The team themselves have just got to listen to the coaches and listen and do the system. And he'll tweak it. He did some tweaks in practice. He said he's going to do some more. I'm really waiting for the new addition of assistant coach Rob Scuderi, the defenseman we brought in along with Coach Hines, and till he gets working with our defense core and tightening them up in a lot of areas, because I thought in the second half of that game, we sort of slipped back into our system of backing off and not keeping how we got that lead. I mean, we got the lead by skating, moving the puck, going to the net, all the things the coaches have been asking them to do. And then the players themselves, and I'm going to tell people there, coaches don't stand behind the bench and say, okay, guys, we got a 3-goal lead, let's back off. Let's don't keep doing what we did and was successful. Let's go into a shell. Let's back off in the neutral zone. Let's back into Pecorine's goal crease or whatever. And I saw a little bit of that in the third, but then when Pekka scored that goal and the guys tightened down. You know the other part I loved? When Bonino got that empty net goal, they worked their hearts out to get the puck out, because Chicago played hard last night. But did you see what Forsberg did? He could have easily reached out and tapped that puck in.
Yep.
But he rode the guy off. In football, I guess you'd call him a blocker or whatever it was. He just skated in front, didn't take a penalty, and let the puck go in. That showed me that the guys are back on being together. That's what you're looking for in your team.
How tough can it be, though, Crispy, for a brand-new coach who barely knows anybody in the locker room to come in the middle of the season and get immediate buy-in from a group of 20-plus players when times are tough, the team is struggling, and the difficulty of the task that John Hines has had this week?
You know what? I wouldn't use the word tough. I would use the word imperative, that the players realize that some good men got fired, lost their jobs because the job wasn't getting done. And the onus is on the shoulders of those guys going out every night on that ice to get it done, meaning the players. And I think the guys realize it, and it's every sport. Well, now the onus is on the players. Well, they took it to heart because they'd been to the Stanley Cup Finals together. They knew that they couldn't say they didn't have the talent. Why wasn't the talent producing? Why weren't they doing it? And I think that message got through, because, like I said, I watched that practice the other day in the morning. When he blew that whistle and he brought them in, I mean, there was every guy there. Nobody was fooling around with pucks out there. Nobody was chit-chatting with each other like they normally do and vaguely or whatever. They were intense, knowing that, hey, they made the big move. David Poile made a move he didn't want to, but felt it was good for the team and whatnot. We better start listening now, because the new man coming in is the man.
Terry Crisp, every Friday at 8:30 here on Morning Drive. Crispy, thank you so much for joining us as always, and we will see you at the rink.
Hey, guys, listen, I got real quick, though. I want to just congratulate Colin Blackwell.
Yes.
And Peck on their goals. First one's there. Mace, I want to congratulate you and your purple shorts. I got a vision of them you didn't need. You know what I mean? It's sticking in my head. I'm going to have to let it out. You have to do that to me early in the morning. And I just want to give a shout-out to Coach Grable and his team. Good luck, guys. Go down there and get them. Everybody, tighten up.
Love it, Crispy. Thank you so much. You know, I never asked you a few minutes ago whether you had gold undergarments.
I might.
You might?
Yeah, I might.
Okay.
I can't give everybody the secrets.
Okay.
There's only a certain...
You should have...
There's only few.
That you should have jet green toilet paper, though. Jet green
never.
No?
But I do have a jet green robe.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I do, with my number on the back.
85?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that to me.
Living like Mark Deion Sanchez. Sanders must be the
Mark
money.
Sanchez gave you a green robe with 85 on the back?
Yes, he gave. He gifted all the offensive guys robes, and it has your number and your name on the back. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I still got it. I ain't giving that thing away.
So before we get to stick to sports, our Twitter feed last night at 102.5 The Game blew up over Pete Weber and his call with Hal Gill last night when Pecorine scored that empty net goal. And I think everyone, let me say this. I wonder how many people turned off the game when Nick Bonino made it 4-2 with an empty net goal and said, you know what, this game's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm just going to go to bed and call it a night. And then they miss the Pecorine empty net goal because they turned off the TV. No one will admit to it except for you.
Yeah, I was
but
one
around
of those
the
guys.
Water cooler this morning, uh-huh. When this is the water cooler talk around
everybody
town.
Everybody saw it.
Oh, everybody saw it.
Yeah.
Everybody saw it. And if you didn't see it, you heard it with Pete Weber and Hal Gill.
Under 30 seconds to play now. Crawford goes to the bench again. And Rinne takes a long elevated shot, bouncing, and he scores! Pekka Rinne scores into the empty net. Predators with a 5-2 lead. Pekka Rinne becomes the second Predators goaltender in team history to score a goal.
So that was Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the radio side of things. On the TV side of things, with Willie Donick and Chris Mason, their reaction to the puck going into the net and Pekka Rinne scoring a goal was absolutely priceless.
Crawford will go to the bench again. Rinne will try. Rinne going deep for the empty net. It is bouncing! Pekka Rinne! What a shot!
Oh, my God.
He has scored a goal!
Unbelievable!
Good stuff there.
Willie was so loud, I think he echoed somewhere else.
you heard the high fives, too. You heard the high fives in there.
Yeah.
They gave each other high fives.
For sure. I think that was the reaction of most everybody watching around Middle Tennessee. I know it was in my house when Pekka Rinne scored that goal last night to help clinch the 5-2 win for the Preds over the Chicago Blackhawks. They are back at it Sunday afternoon in Winnipeg, a matinee game against the Jets, big game in the Central Division, pregame at 12, puck drop at 1, right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But you know what we do next, D-Mace?
Yes, I do. Stick to sports.
We stick to sports. That's coming up next on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I want to dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me.
I bet you someone's going to dub you dancing with the Ravens mascot before the day is over.
I like that.
It's a Friday. It's Morning Drive. It's Stick to Sports, and that means it's Whitney Houston for just for D-Mace.
Absolutely.
So let's go ahead and stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive, number one.
All right, fellas, this is a special edition of Stick to Sports. We had a lot of special editions of Stick to Sports today. I'm looking on my TV, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know how you guys got ESPN playing on all the studios, NHL Network? Mm-hmm. I'm watching Live PD right now. On A&E. Have you guys ever watched that Live PD?
Never heard of it.
It's like Cops, but it's live.
Never heard of it.
It's awesome.
So it's live happening right now?
Yes.
Mm. Where?
Right now they're in Arizona, and they got apparently they stopped a car from some drug paraphernalia that they're looking in the trunk for. So yeah, fun times for that show. I love this show, by the way. But special edition, since Mike Leach is now in the SEC. Throughout the you know, I think he kind of opened me up to Stick to Sports because, like, I think some of our fun moments have been listening to Mike Leach basically be ridiculous and be Mike Leach. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play a couple of our favorites, and these are only the ones that we played during Stick to Sports. So you're not going to hear the wedding advice, which is pretty funny if you've never... Not the fat, ugly girlfriends or whatever. We're not going to hear none of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear the ones that we played during Stick to Sports. Now, one of them where he talked about the differences between cats and dogs. You guys remember this? Yeah. He talked about the differences between cat people and dog people. And here's Mike Leach talking about that.
There's a definite difference. I've never been able to understand animosity towards a cat any more than like a squirrel or a hamster or something, you know. You know, you don't see somebody, I hate hamsters or I hate squirrels or I hate robins, you know. I mean,
Robin.
But there is definitely some people that hate cats, which strikes me as quite strange because in the end it's only a cat. And that someone would allow a cat to disturb them that much and generate so much emotional anxiety, I have a hard time understanding that. I do think there's a point to where dog owners are evolving towards cat owners, and I think that's unfortunate. cat owners tend to be, from my experience, more independent, a little more solo, and I guess appreciate the independence in a cat. Cat owners can become obsessive where at a higher rate than dog owners, where instead of, you know, one cat's fun, two cats are twice as fun, so let's get 20 of them.
One cat's fun, two cats. Oh my. I mean, basically, I agree. I mean, I kind of agree with what he was saying. And mind you, Mississippi State reporters get used to the because he does that like every press conference.
But he's right, man. You never hear people say, "I just hate dogs," or "I just hate this." But you hear people, "I just hate cats. I'm not a cat lover."
You know,
and what do cats do to people? Even though I'm not a cat lover, and I can say, but they hadn't done anything to me.
You see, so I didn't hate cats, but I didn't really like them.
Uh-huh.
I was just kind of indifferent on them until I moved in with my fiance, and now I have no choice but to love Maverick, the cat, who is always mischievous and up to something. But I have no choice but to love him, even though I have kind of a love-hate relationship with him.
Yeah, you love to hate him.
Yeah. In certain moments, but most of the time.
But you love Maverick, so yes. There you go. There you go.
We're not getting a goose, though.
Yeah, no gooses.
The animal goose or a cat game named Goose to go with the Maverick, like in Top Gun.
Oh, so you just a one cat guy?
Yeah, we're not getting a second cat.
Okay,
I've already made that
one
clear.
Cat. Coach already said one cat is great. Two cats is doubly as great. Then I might as well get 20 cats.
I know, right?
Yeah. So also, Mike Leach talked about Area 51. You guys remember this one?
Yes.
Area 51. Here's Mike Leach.
No, I don't think that'd be a good idea because then they just might test out the stuff they're testing on you to ensure that you don't get in there. You know, I mean, you know, our government lately has shown some resistance to enforcing laws around this country to the detriment of its citizens. I suspect those wouldn't be laws that they chose not to enforce. I don't know. I think if there is proof of it, that would be a pretty good starting place to look, I would think.
And you guys remember this because he suggested that they should do like Burning Man out there in order to break into Area 51. And that was his kind of suggestion for that. Mike Leach, man.
You gotta love Mike Leach, though.
I mean, who doesn't like Mike Leach? I don't think I've ever met someone who doesn't like Mike Leach.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there could be, I mean, what happened with the kid that, he put the kid in the closet because he had a concussion. Wasn't that Mike Leach?
Yeah, that was at Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech. Their family doesn't like Mike Leach, no. But that's probably about it. And they probably have good reason to not like Mike Leach. But you brought up something that you would love to see with Mike Leach because he's broken down the mascots.
Oh,
before
the best.
Oh, absolutely. I was getting there because that's the last one.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, here is Mike Leach breaking down
my favorite,
the battle between the Pac-12 mascots.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a sun devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with the bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a sun devil because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way, clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're Mississippi State football
coach.
I
need him to break down the West mascots. Just can't wait.
Not just the West, though.
Oh, you want SEC, period.
I want him to break down a Commodore. I want him to break down a Gator. I want him to break down a Gamecock. I want him to break down a Kentucky Wildcat, a Volunteer.
Yeah. Like Tigers thrown in there.
Yeah.
The elephant.
Oh, the elephant is the ultimate trump card, though.
Yes. Oh, man. Razorback, which is the boar.
Yeah.
Man, that got a lot going on.
Aggie.
An Aggie, yeah? Mm-hmm. Hmm. Somebody needs to ask him that question, either before SEC Media Day or during SEC Media Day.
So no, I want an introductory press conference. I need to text one of the reporters from out there.
Yes, please do.
I'm going to ask him about the SEC mascots.
There's multiple Bulldogs and there's multiple Tigers. Yeah. So there would only be 12 different mascots that he's breaking down.
Yeah, you're right about that. Do they form alliances in order to beat the other mascots?
Look, 11 mascots can form whatever alliance they want. They're not beating an elephant. An elephant is the ultimate trump card.
Yeah, you got a point there.
I don't know, but there's also a couple tigers in there as well.
Yeah, tigers. Have you ever seen, you know, National Geographic when those lions jump on the elephant, man? Usually they go after the little elephant, not the big one.
No. See, an elephant with a little tiger is kind of like Derrick Henry running through the Patriots defense.
You got a point there.
Coming up next, speaking of the Titans and speaking of Derrick Henry, we'll get back into the Titans and Ravens. He's Derek Mason. I'm Ryan Porthen for Brain Gall. This morning, you're listening to Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.